Our scripture this morning takes it all the way back to the start, as portrayed by the writer John in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, and the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known to us." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The sermon today is titled True Light. But we begin with this little quandary. Quandary that John found himself faced with. Now, at the time the Gospels were written, Jesus was already gone. And they had decided, because he had not come back immediately, it was important to write down their experiences as they remembered him, as they still had witnesses around them who could share what they had experienced. And John would be one of these writers. But he had a problem. How do you explain the Messiah to people who aren't Jewish? People who've never heard this talk of some conquering godly king coming back to store everything right and set everything back in place. How do you describe a relationship that they've never heard of before? And so he sat, I'm sure, and thought before he began his gospel and prayed. Jesus, he knew in faith, had been with God from the beginning. And Jesus represented the pinnacle of everything that a human being could be. Jesus represented what creation was meant to be when it was perfected in a human being. Jesus had the God impulse fire inside his heart to such a degree that he was not merely human, but divine as well. And how can he describe this to people? The importance to everybody that God became flesh and came to the world. He knew the Greeks were great lovers of logic and reason. And they had this word. The word was logos, L-O-G-O-S. And that word in Greek meant more than reason or logic. It meant that which made everything worked. You know, people observed and saw that there were certain rules that were followed. If you dropped a cup, it fell to the ground every single time. The sun always rose in the east and set in the west. They knew there was a certain inherent order to all of creation. And they called that order logos. Logic, reason, the way things work. So John takes that word and says, you know what logos is? Do you know what makes the universe work? Do you know what The order is underneath everything you observe, everything you are, and everything you do. It's Jesus. He is the Word. He is Logos. He is logic and reason. This is how great this Messiah is. He is every good impulse. He is every logical step. He is the way everything should work. But John didn't stop there because that's so intellectual and esoteric. It's out there somewhere. You know, and the typical day-to-day person that Jesus came to didn't spend a lot of time on philosophy and physics and mechanics and geometry. So he needed something else. And it was a very powerful analogy at the time, made slightly less powerful today by light switches and electricity. He said the true light was coming into the world. Now, I want you to close your eyes for a second. Close them. Now I want you to cup your hands over your eyes. That is night in Israel. That is night in Egypt. That is night in Greece and Europe. Okay, you can stop that now. I don't want you falling asleep. When we talk of darkness, now we talk about what it's like just outside the throw of the streetlight. But when they talked of darkness, they talked of pitch black darkness. You couldn't ride a horse or a donkey along those rutted roads at night because you could not see where you're going. You couldn't meet up and have a big party in the backyard. It was just too dark. You had maybe the light of a candle or a lantern in your house, and that was enough if you were right next to it, that it sent back the darkness. So that's a big part of why the Jews did everything before sunset. It was a big part of basic kosher law. The darkness was extremely dark, and you couldn't do anything in it. And so it was when the sun rose every morning. What a beautiful sight it was. And I can speak to this from personal experience, going way back to 89 and Hurricane Hugo. I had never seen darkness like the darkness I experienced when the entire southeastern seaboard was out of power. It was black. Black as night. It was so bad that in those areas hardest hit, you had no idea what was happening or how bad it was. What work was ahead of you until that beautiful sun rose. And when that sun rose, it was like you were back on earth again. It's the difference between night and day, quite literally, when there's no electric light, when there's no gas lamp, none of that. So John says to these people who don't understand a Messiah, look, it's like this. In your life, you know, after dark, you can't accomplish a thing. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. It's just not safe. When the sun rises, you can go about your work. You can meet with your friends. You can live your life. That is what has just happened, he says. The light, the true light, has come into the world. Now, that, my friends, is a huge promise. It is a promise that you're going to better be able to see what's happening in your life. If you follow Jesus, you're going to be able to see those areas that need work, those rough spots, those danger areas. John is saying if you've got Christ in your life, you're much less likely to stumble and fall. The light coming into the world means you can accomplish your tasks and your work. And he says the coming of Christ means you are going to work so much better and accomplish so much more. It means you can celebrate. You can rejoice with your friends and family. You aren't bottled up, stuck in your house, but you can go out into the world and experience all the joys of creation. And John says, the light of Christ means you can finally, really, truly live life. So John solves this problem of a Messiah by telling people, your life has just become infinitely richer, infinitely better, infinitely more effective. Your life is going to be like coming out of darkness into the light, the true light. I don't know about you, but I've experienced this in my life. I've experienced the muddledness, the stubborn obstinacy of not knowing who the heck I was or what the heck I wanted. I've stumbled in darkness plenty. I'm not telling you about it. You tell your own story. No. And the difference that comes when you let just a little sliver of God to shine in your heart, the difference that comes when you listen to all this beautiful wisdom of Jesus and actually apply it. It really works. Things become brighter. The difficult tasks become easier to negotiate. And those dark periods from those painful times in your life, when that God light is shined on them, oh, you are safe, you are wiser, and you are able to overcome. And I know several people in this room right now who can easily testify to that fact. So John starts off his gospel in this beautiful way of saying, the true light has come into the world, and from here, everything can change. Amen. Ain't it the truth, Scott? It is the truth. The true light has come into the world, and from here, everything can change. What a marvelous gift this is, especially when you couple that with the words of Jesus himself. You know who he said was the light of the world? He said, you are. Oh. So the true light has come into the world and shined into our hearts so that we might go out into the world and shine a light in the darkness. One candle in a darkened room and you've beaten back the darkness. One godly word, one gesture of godly peace and love in a person's life, and you can push back the darkness. My friends, we are the beacon on the hill. We have accepted the mission of the true life. We have embraced the cause of the true light. And now it's our job to shine. The true light is in the world. It lives among us. And our job is to be that light. Amen.